This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. I'm co-host Randy Eccles. Today, we have Dr. Hossein Mesbah. He's got a relatively new business venture you're doing. Tell us about 217 Medicine Direct.
I am doing a direct primary care model of practice.
What is direct primary care?
The traditional practice now in our country is run under billing insurance, and that's how the finances work, where patients come see the doctor, the doctor does their note, and then there's a bunch of coding, and then some kind of magic happens, and a couple months later, they get their reimbursements from all the different companies that are paying for the care. That effectively puts a middleman in between the doctor and the patient, which does add a lot of administrative work, a lot of paperwork, a lot of waiting on approvals and asking permission for what you can and can't do to take care of the patient, which on both sides of the table, as far as physicians and patients, we have long been feeling the burden of that. Recently, it's really coming to light how expensive that has been for us. I have cut that out. This is a movement that's picking up momentum right now nationwide. There's a few other practices in town and smaller surrounding areas that are practicing a similar model, but I basically run off of a membership model. One of my biggest goals is transparency. So on my website, everything is listed out pretty clearly. I like my patients to know exactly what they're paying. No surprise bills, no copays or anything. For an individual, it's $90 a month, and that gets you all the primary care services you would need. There's a few things that would be a little bit extra. I'll do like home visits, after-hour care, in-office procedures. You have unlimited office visits, unlimited telehealth visits, any medical management you'd need. There's family plans that go up from there. The maximum I would ever charge for a family of parents and all their kids, no matter how many kids they have, would be $300. It really does break down to be a good value.
At one level, it sounds like old school, going back to sort of how it used to be, where there was nobody between the doctors. One of the things we've seen in the market is doctors not being able to be independent anymore because they have to be a part of a group so that somebody can be processing all this insurance. This is something that you see as workable. You're going to be able to get the compensation that you need for services.
I really hope so. I've been in business a little over 2 months now. I'm still a ways from being profitable, but I think the way I've set it up, my overhead is very low. I don't need that much to do what I do, especially if I'm not dealing with all that paperwork and all the back and forth and waiting. And right now, I'm the only member of the staff. So I'm the janitor, I'm the secretary, I'm the receptionist. One of the most important things to me is my patients having access to me. I realize as my practice grows, I'm absolutely going to need some help. The typical traditional family medicine or primary care practice has anywhere from about 2,500 up to a really busy practice. One doc may be taking care of 5,000-6,000 patients. My goal in the next year and a half, 2 years, is to have a panel of 500 patients. I'd be financially doing well at that point. I'd probably be looking for another practitioner to come join me. At the same time, I would have a fifth, a sixth, a tenth of some practices, patient volume. I really would have at least five times more time for each patient. And I'm already seeing the effect of that. I'm only doing 1 hour long appointments, and that whole hour is me face to face with the patient. The average duration of a primary care visit is anywhere from 6 to 12 minutes. So you're lucky if you get 12. I love what I do. I feel very blessed to be able to practice medicine and take care of people for a living. To be able to offer that level of service, that level of intimacy with my patients, gives me a lot of the reward I need to kind of keep me motivated, and gives the patients space to bring whatever they need to me and feel like all their questions are answered.
12 minutes is the average. That is an average. So there are times where the doctor does spend more time with
people. 6 to 12 minutes.
6 to 12 minutes. So there is a higher number there for some situations. Sure, sure. But yes, an average. If everything's generally good and you're getting a physical, sometimes you'll see the doctor for 6 to 12 minutes. The pricing is $90 a month. That's your ideal plan. Once they pay that, then they're covered. However, your insurance, if you're already getting insurance or keeping insurance, they're not going to process that through you.
Correct. So I don't bill insurance. I do use some third-party services. So I do my labs through a local lab service. I do my imaging through a local hospital. I have negotiated prices. So a lot of times the prices I've been able to negotiate and provide my patients are lower than copays would end up being, which is pretty great. Those, I don't upcharge on that. The lab will bill me at the end of the month, and I just collect from the patients and pay them.
They could file with their own insurance and get a reimbursement.
Exactly. So for those third-party services, if they are covered, yeah. But again, that's something that I'm happy to help them with. I'm happy to provide them any documentation they would need to get their coverage, but I would be an out-of-network provider.
It would be up to them to file the paperwork with their insurance company.
Correct. The ideal setup for a patient getting primary care from a direct primary care practice would be for them to have like a high deductible insurance plan. I'm not an emergency room. I can't provide hospital services. In case of an emergency, in case they needed, for instance, specialist care, can be rather expensive. I do have a system. I haven't had an opportunity to use it yet, but through the electronic health record I use, I can basically do virtual consults with specialists. That would allow me to send all the patient's information over to the specialist, and then for myself and the specialist to have a conversation and me to get their recommendations, start the management. A lot of times it can take anywhere from 6, 7, 8 months. I've seen patients waiting over a year to get in with some specialists. Generally, for unforeseen situations or if somebody does have chronic conditions that need a specialist care, I do recommend having some kind of insurance to help them out with that.
Anybody as they age is going to run into something like that, whether it's a need for an oncologist or an ear, nose, throat doctor. If they're working with you, all their general needs are going to be processed through. But if they need that specialist, you're going to refer them?
Exactly. So, I do work in a non-traditional model, but I'm a part of the healthcare system still. I'm still connected. I'm still able to call a doctor's office and get access to the doctor right away and have a doctor-to-doctor call. I trained here. I was actually born in Memorial Hospital and trained in Memorial Hospital.
So you're
Hospital,
native,
so,
right?
Oh, yeah. This is home for me.
You grew up here. Mm-hmm. You went to SIU School of Medicine?
Yes, sir.
Did you also go to school here, elementary?
Yeah, so K through 12, I was a District 186 student. For undergrad, I was in Champaign at the University of Illinois. I studied molecular and cellular biology, got a minor in chemistry. From there, I went to Carbondale for a year and then here for 3 for my medical school. And then I did my residency at SIU's family medicine program out in Quincy.
Something had to motivate you to decide to take this, because this is a risk.
Oh, yeah, it's any business that you start early on is very nerve-wracking, and I'm feeling that being this early in business. To kind of be blunt, I'm a single guy. I don't have any kids. It's easy for me to take that risk, and if things don't go well, I can... There's pivots that I have planned if it comes down to it. If I'm finding that at my 6-month mark, I'm going to do a nice assessment and see, am I getting the number of patients I need to be getting in a month to hit my goals? If not, I could do a hybrid model where maybe I take on a couple insurance companies. Sell just a little corner of my soul,
That hurts though, yeah. It's good to hear that this is available in the market. It's mm-hmm. a choice for folks. Mm-hmm. You may still, up to you, to figure out whether you need to still maintain other insurance
Correct.
For specialists. Probably so, considering strange things that could come up and cost a whole lot of money.
Correct.
But again, you said there's some services, and it might be a little extra money with you, but I haven't heard of anybody offering house calls.
Typically, house calls are pretty much only covered if there's a mobility issue where the patient isn't able to leave the home safely. Otherwise, would be pretty much like a luxury service. I think it would be so reassuring to know, even if it's not a house call, if you're one of my patients. I have 2 cell phones in my pocket all the time now, which is kind of a love-hate thing for me. But my policy is within 24 hours, I'll always get back to the patients. Generally, if it's something I can respond to in the next 20 minutes, unless I'm actively doing a radio interview or seeing a patient or something, I'm very quick to respond. And a lot of times we can have a quick phone call or exchange a couple of texts, and I can put in orders very easily from wherever I am, call a pharmacy, send in a medication, especially once I know the patient, and being able to spend that time with them in our appointments really helps facilitate that. I can talk to a patient and not have to have my computer up in front of me just because I kind of know pretty well.
It's still portrayed on television these days as sort of the country doctor in several cases. Mm-hmm. It's almost mm-hmm. people are wistful for that. You see the big hospital shows and they don't really go into it much, mm-hmm. but when they go into the rural, not urban doctor, you'll see him maybe an assistant who helps out, mm-hmm. who is able to pretty much have direct contact with the community. It does seem like a good way to develop your relationship with your doctor. I've gone through times in my life where I've been shuffled to different doctors through mm-hmm. the insurance process. Right now, I have a pretty good COVID situation where I've maintained the same one, but that's harder to do these days.
A trend that I've seen kind of, even in the short time that I've been training and in practice, it's getting harder and harder to see your doctor. One physician can have four mid-level practitioners working underneath them as supervised practitioners, and that's either a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant, a PA. A lot of times, if you need to see somebody more urgently, the doctor's not going to be available for 2 or 3 months, and you'll end up seeing one of 2 or 3 different nurse practitioners that help them out. You know, that introduces a lot of difficulty as a patient. I kind of imagine myself, I had something sensitive to talk about. If I wanted to go in and it's the first time I've ever opened up about my depression, my anxiety, some type of intimate issue with somebody who I'm just meeting, it'd be tough. That's something I hope that I can avoid with my patients, yeah.
If you believe in preventative healthcare, absolutely. The idea you call for a physical and because it's not urgent, that's where you're getting, well, we can get to you next quarter.
Absolutely.
That feels like a long time out because one of the reasons it's probably coming to mind is you're just worried about a little of this or that or mm-hmm. something. Be able to have access more promptly really does help make sense there and hopefully get so that you don't need emergency exactly. treatment or urgent care. In a situation where somebody has gotten used now to going to urgent care, how would that work with you?
I give a little more background about myself. I really do enjoy acute medicine. So I worked as a hospitalist in a rural hospital in Missouri. It's about a 25-bed hospital, and I also covered their ER. Anywhere from 5 to 7 day stretches, I would be taking care of all the patients in the hospital, and then I would do 24-hour shifts in the ER. And there's patients that you're their primary care doctor. You know, they don't have anybody else, and if something comes up, that's where they're going. I see that already in my practice. I've had multiple patients who just go to the urgent care when something comes up. That's also one of the most common things I hear from people is, you know, I'm healthy. I don't have any problems. I don't need a doctor. My spiel for that built into me now, I believe everybody needs a primary care doctor. If not having a problem is something to protect, and that's absolutely one of the things I can help anybody do. It's been pretty much 100% of the time that people do kind of take that leap. They see the things that we're preventing. So many of the chronic diseases that we're dealing with, once you're feeling the symptoms, there's damage done that can't be undone. That's how diabetes is. That's how blood pressure is. That's how a lot of mental health issues are. They're pretty insidious in the damage they cause. And once you're feeling a symptom, something needs to be addressed. When for you to come in 10 years sooner, we could have worked on it.
How do you advise folks to be preventative?
Another thing I realized pretty early on in my medical training is the public opinion of physicians is that we know everything and that we're certain. And if you really listen, it's hard to get an absolute answer from a doctor. We'll never tell you this is what's going to happen. We'll tell you this is most likely going to happen.
Doctors aren't always going to be certain about what's going on. What's the best way to look at your medical situation in a preventative?
Yes. So the recommendations based on research change constantly. Every 10, 15 years, the way we're prescribing medications and the way that what we're using, what we're finding is effective for different things, what we're finding is has long-term side effects that we didn't anticipate, change the recommendations and guidelines pretty drastically. But the things that would prevent you from needing those medications really boil down to common sense a lot of times. Most people who are doing the things that are gonna cause, for instance, diabetes, I don't think there's anybody eating bags and bags of candy and 3 candy bars a day, 4 candy bars a day that thinks that's good for them. I don't think there's anybody that's sitting in front of the TV for 16 hours a day watching themselves gain weight and lose ability to be active. Somewhere in their mind know that. And there's so many things that can prevent us from facing that, whether it's shame, whether it's family upbringing and what we've seen, socioeconomic status, availability of healthy foods, availability of safe places to be outside and be active. You know, these are all things that can come into place. It is a complex and a lot of times a systemic problem, but at the same time, if you have somebody who can guide you through a candy bar every few days, get up and take a walk around the block if you can, take a bus to the mall and walk around. You know, there's so many ways, if you just sit down and put a little bit of thought into it, that those things can be overcome so much more simply than could, for instance, coronary artery that's blocked 100%. Then you really need some intervention. One of my favorite pieces of advice about nutrition, I always ask my patients, do you know what the best diet is? They kind of look at me and I say, it's whatever one that you'll follow and stay on and stick to. And that really, I think, opens up prevention has so many avenues that'll work. It doesn't look one way. That's another thing that I'm trained to do is help tailor a plan for you that will help you do that.
This is Community Voices and 91.9 UIS. We're talking to Hussein Masba, a new business owner of 217 Medicine Direct, which is a direct primary care operation, which is unique. It is more the old model of a direct relationship with your doctor without the insurance company. That doesn't mean insurance will cover it. You'll have to get that taken care of yourself as much as possible. It's stressful when you're trying to take care of people who sometimes are in distress. What do you do to try to lighten the load? What do you do for fun?
I do have a lot of hobbies. I am always kind of tinkering with something. I like to make things with my hands. A few years ago, I picked up bookbinding. I haven't come across anybody else that's been doing it, but you know, I enjoy writing a lot. That's my outlet to help me. I do find creating something and taking it to completion to be very rewarding and a pressure release for me. I really enjoy medical history. I have a stethoscope collection. Could probably tell you way more than you'd ever want to know about stethoscopes. I always keep myself pretty occupied.
How would someone contact you?
My website is 217md. I do also do fee for service. Somebody just wanted to come in and see me one time. It's $100 for an office visit. If they wanted a home visit, it'd be $175. A telehealth visit would be $65. The direct primary care model fits well with is small businesses that want to provide benefits for their employees. Providing health insurance can be very expensive. If you have 10, 20, 30 employees, I'd be more than happy to work out a rate where the employer is paying half of it, the patient's paying half of it.
We appreciate you being here. 217md.com.
My phone number, you can reach me directly, 217-761-0251.
We'll also have that information on the post at nprillinois.org. Dr. Hussein Masba, thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.